Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Welcome one and all to Wednesday. Wait, it's Wednesday. That means it's... Okay, sound or no, it is Big News Wednesday, JR. Hopefully they're hearing these videos because we're not yet. We're gonna get that resolved. But you are here and that's what's important.
No, I'm just joking.
I know. I knew you were gonna do that, by the way. I knew it. I would have bet every dollar I have. Anyway, we're glad to have you here, you bastard.
Hey, bro, get into the holiday spirit. I mean, we got to get more happiness, more joy, more giving amongst each other. I'm there. It's absolutely December. It's December now. You got to get into the spirit of That's all true. The holidays fall in this month.
Speaking of giving, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was a lot of cooking, which is exactly what I planned. So yeah, it went well. It was perfectly normal. Football was on in the background. It's what it's supposed to be, you know. A little bit of here, a little bit of food there. Ate too much. Ate the same thing for the past 5 days. So, you know, I think it's starting to go bad in the fridge.
Yeah. You know, I the only difference is I didn't have football in the background. I had the Wheel of Time, some Thanksgiving movies, Hawkeye, stuff like that in the background, really. Yeah. A lot of Cutthroat Kitchen, a show that I hadn't seen before and find oddly compelling, actually. That's a good show, but anyway.
It's another one of those that likes to sabotage people that like to cook, as if you go into a kitchen and really make something with gummy bears and chicken. Come on, bro.
It's pretty good. I thought it was good. Anyway, you know what? You said we're gonna have happy, good holiday times, and now you're right with the salt.
You're right.
You know, so anyway. Right. Thank you all for being here, though. It is indeed Big News Wednesday. We do have a lot of news to talk about, and we will get into that in just 1 minute. But before we do that, if you wouldn't mind hitting the like button and sharing the stream, that would be a delight. And you can send us messages, tweets, comments, and all of that. And we will respond to those as we go. Do we have any heads up from Sophie? Will we hear the videos? Okay, well, that's going to be rough. JR, prepare to come up with stuff. Anyway, with that though, let's try this thing. Let's talk about some news. Let's jump into this video.
One of my staffers on his first day with me got into an elevator in the Capitol. And in that elevator, we were joined by Ilhan Omar. Well, it was just us three in there, and I looked over and I said, "Well, look at there, it's the Jihad Squad."
Okay, so bad news, we couldn't hear the video. Good news, you guys could hear the video. Good news number two, it had captions. But just for JR's sake, you do lose something from just the caption. So I need you to understand that not only in that video was that another time that Lauren Boebert has told the supposed story of her mocking Ilhan Omar as a suicide bomber, but all the details were different. So she's just making this up every time she says it. But you need to understand that she delivers it as, and so I looked at her and I said, "Hey, Jihad Squad," and everyone in the room. I don't understand how some people choose to live their life. The delivery of the story was horrible. She has no charisma whatsoever. The message she's delivering is abhorrent, and she's also playing them because she's just making this up. That was terrible in every way that a story could be terrible. Personally, in terms of delivery, she is just an awful human being.
This is the thing, whenever punchlines come by, I had seen it before, so I know exactly how she sounded, exactly what she did. So this is the thing, when you're telling, we have this whole debate over jokes and comedians and who can tell jokes and who can't and which one's offensive and what's not. And there's the line of like funny, right? The other part is when you don't have to be funny, is when You're telling just jokes that are at the expense of other people that you hate. So the punchline is, you know, because she's a Muslim. That's not a punchline. That's just hate, bigotry, and racism. That's all that is. That has nothing to do with a roundabout way to even, you could even tell a bigoted joke in a better way, but she chooses not to because why try? The punchline is the bigotry. You don't have to worry about how you say it. And number two, I think as you point out, this is from back in September. So this is an ongoing regular thing that she does. This isn't, I heard this one story and then I like to tell it. No, I like to tell this fake story over and over again with different angles and audience members cackling about it. That's all this is. It's just a campaign thing.
Pathetic. And like if you were, I don't think that a single person who was in any of either of these two audiences that we've seen, or God knows how many other times she's told this exact same story, minus the details changing, none of them will be offended, but they should be because she came up with this story, this lie, which says something about her, but it also says something about what she thinks about you. Like that this is what she comes and delivers. It's not, again, I feel like a broken record. It's not about your problems or how she's gonna fix them. It's about the biases and bigotries that she thinks you have. And then you prove that you have them by laughing at her inane story.
Yep.
By the way, at the same event in this case, she said, Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, these are just black-hearted evil women. Just total coincidence that she chose two women of color in Congress to describe as black-hearted.
Coincidence, John.
By the way, you are the one that is going around to tons of events telling stories mocking someone's religion and saying that that makes them a terrorist. They're the evil women. They're evil. This is what you are doing. You know, I'm not a Christian. I'm gonna be completely honest. I love any Christian watching this. I think it's as made up as every other religion. That said, I don't feel like any of this is consistent with what they say they're gonna be like when they become Christians. Is this a what would Jesus do thing? Oh, Jesus would go to like cocktail parties and he'd mock other religions as being terrorists. That's what he would do. No, you're just a terrible person. No, but I wouldn't want to talk to you at a party. I wouldn't want to have to ride an elevator with you. If there's supposed to be any benefit from religion, it is supposed to be trying to teach you to be a better person. That's what all of them do. Why did it fail so wholly when it comes to people like Boebert and Green and Gates and Gosar and all of them?
Sadly,
I don't know. Maybe they need more religion because the amount they have isn't doing it.
Yeah, sadly, it's set up by the way that we allow religion, specifically Christianity, in this country to just flow freely. You know, tax-free things. You get to preach your sermons. You get to have your congregations and then collect money so you can continue to help the community, which is the original thought about this whole thing, or fund the church and then help the people that attend the church. But since that became such a good money grab, people that have nothing to do with the religion or nothing to do with the belief system took it over. I mean, at least as far as the leadership groups in many of these churches. So they're like, oh man, this is a perfect scenario. The country allows me to just do this wholeheartedly and freely without any taxing. So why wouldn't I do this? And then of course, grifters and people who want to make more money off of other people's backs, they take this as a perfect opportunity. It has nothing to do with Christianity. And the people who do believe, many times get duped into thinking these folks believe the same thing that they do.
Yeah. No. In any event, Ilhan Omar did respond to this new version of this, tweeting, "The evolution of this dangerous tale is frightening. Trying to come up with the most bigoted ways to traffic Islamophobic tropes is the brand of the Republican Party. It should be clear by now that there needs to be real consequence for this hateful anti-Muslim rhetoric. Enough." Is it enough? I don't know. House leadership say that they're considering whether to take action against her. Yeah. Maybe they will. They eventually did against Gosar. That's true. But Lauren Boebert is just, she's not backing down. Like she went on Laura Ingraham last night to say, "I didn't apologize to placate Ilhan Omar or whatever." Okay, well, so but again, you are the I'm not claiming that there's some sort of divine thing that I'm a part of. You are doing that. You are saying that you are a conservative Christian. Aren't they supposed to be all about forgiveness and confessing your sins and all of that? She says they don't want an apology. They want public humiliation. Yes, forget about them. You were wrong. You know that what you did was wrong. You as a Christian are supposed to seek forgiveness by confessing your sins. You're supposed to, like whatever she wants, who cares? You're not supposed to be answering her. You're supposed to be answering to all those people up there, right? Well, then you should be wanting to apologize regardless of what they want, but you don't want to, because despite the fact that on some level you know that what you're saying is absolutely abhorrent and is in no way grounded in Christianity, the behavioral precepts that you're supposed to have from that, you don't care about that. You care about looking cool and having lizard brains laugh at your little stupid story. That's what you want.
This is the thing. So people that have experienced social privilege their whole lives like this, they're the types that once they have to actually own up, it's ironic because they talk about personal responsibility and pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. None of the things which they're willing to do themselves because they never had to. So when you've had to experience social privilege your whole life and you finally have to say something for or own up to the things you've done, it's now becomes what's the term she used? It's now they wanna make us look like we're sacrificing ourselves in front or embarrassing in front of publicly, because it's embarrassing and sacrificing in order to say publicly that you were wrong, or to say that my belief system might be off and I may have to do some work on myself. I may have to advance myself. I may have to make myself be a better person. All those things, they're embarrassing and sacrificial for people like her. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that say more about her character and her personality than anyone else? It's embarrassing to come out and say you were wrong. Come on, bro.
Sacrifice and you follow is at that. Like the core of their religion. But that's for other people. That's for Jesus' people. That's not for them, apparently. Anyway, let's turn to an even darker angle on this. Let's jump directly into this video.
I'm going to play you a voicemail that we received hours after I got off the phone with Representative Boebert after she posted her video.
We see you, mother. We know what you're up to. You're all about taking over the country. Don't worry, there's plenty that will love the opportunity to take you off the face of. Come get jihadist. We know what you are. You're a leader. You will not live much longer, bitch. I can almost guarantee you that we the people are rising up and you will be tried for a military tribunal. And you will be found guilty.
So within just a couple of hours of Lauren Boebert putting up her, I was gonna use a lot of terms to describe it. I'm just gonna say the video that she put up on Instagram. You can fill in for yourself what sort of video it was. More death threats started coming through to Ilhan Omar. Now, look, let's keep it real. Representative Omar's office is no stranger to death threats. They get them constantly because of people like Lauren Boebert and people on Fox News and Marjorie Greene and all that. That guy, whether he actually ever picks up a gun and tries to assassinate this representative, is desperate for it to happen. And you better believe that there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of conservative Republicans that would love to see it happen. And Lauren Boebert knows that that exists. She's playing with that. She's going around and selling herself off of Islamophobia. That's all that she knows she has. And so she's doing it. And if it leads to more death threats, more normalization of desiring the blood of your political opponents, she doesn't care about that.
That's, again, this is the thing. Everyone, when it comes to politicians, I've said this many times, and everyone knows this, not like something I said. Their job is to get reelected. So that's why many of them sell out. That's why many of them have to just go towards the donors because they have the most money. And therefore, they sacrifice all of their belief systems and everything they would do for the sake of staying in office. That's why every time there's an election, it's over. The next thing we talk about is not what they're going to do. We talk about that maybe for a week after they get elected. After that is, what about the next election? And now the midterms. And now the next presidential election. Then the next midterms. There's never a time when they're actually legislating. So many of them sell out for corporations, like I was saying. But people like her realize that her money making is bigotry and hatred. So that's all she's got. So maybe others may go to some like coal mining thing and do a photo op there and tell the corporation there, hey, I'll give you anything you want, just give me more money. And that's bad enough. She goes to the most bigoted and racist corners of the country and says, hey, I'm that racist. I'm that Islamophobe. I'm that person that's gonna incite you to violence. Maybe you should kill my political enemies because that's how I get back into office. Her generating energy is to get back into office, but that's racist energy. And that's what she's tapped into after she saw Donald Trump really expose just how many of those people that there are in this country.
Yeah, yeah, Donald Trump on the political side and people like Tucker Carlson on the media side have shown that whatever sort of legacy prohibition we had against like the most obvious xenophobia and hatred and threats and all of that that might have existed at one point is gone. And honestly, while like them hating and fearing Muslims specifically or anyone who's not like descendant from people on the Mayflower isn't new. None of that is new. Like in the wake of, you know, 9/11, there was a horrible amount of Islamophobia. Like from the most official angles, you didn't see that. Like Bush did horrible things, but at least in his speeches, he tried to pretend that that wasn't what he was doing. That this isn't true Islam or whatever. And then, you know, he'd go and kill hundreds of thousands of people or whatever. And they weren't actively saying stuff like this in the media. So I don't know, like to some extent, some of you might say, well, at least they're more honest about what they believe. Sure, but they're also more transparent about it. And that does seem to be inspiring a lot more people to glom onto it. The popular movement they represent is, this is what it is. And they can do that because people like Lauren Boebert are representing the people they care about. The people they care about are millionaires and billionaires. They have no problems. Nothing needs to be fixed. So they can just waste your time co-opting people's minds with this sort of hate-filled nonsense.
So what is it that's gonna happen? I'm sorry, what is gonna happen if someone does make some attempts on Congress people's lives now?
They did. They did on the 6th. What happened?
Yeah, I mean, but directly and openly and then catching it, because you're gonna talk about what AOC was saying about how this affects people. What are they gonna do then? What's left? Is it gonna cheer more cheering?
If let's say someone gets an, let's say Kyle Rittenhouse picks up his new AR-15 that they're gonna buy from, and he goes to Congress and he kills Ilhan Omar and he kills Rashida Tlaib and he kills Cori Bush. What do you like? You think that night Tucker Carlson's gonna be like, oh no, what have we done? We've gone too far. I never meant for it to. Oh my God, our movement did no. We're gonna go through 6 months of. It was probably Antifa, or I don't know, maybe it was the FBI did it. It's really nothing, or they literally just won't talk about it. They're not, the story we're gonna be talking about Trump later on, they just don't cover this stuff. They're just not interested in it. Oh. Nothing would be learned.
Ironically, the evil that they're pushing lives in the darkness, which is exactly what she talked about when it comes to Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. You know, the evil dark-heartedness. This is why you don't talk about it in these other circles. This is why conservative media won't talk about it. Because if you talk about it, same thing, why they don't want to talk about our history. If you talk about it, people might have maybe some critical thinking on it and go, yeah, these are bad guys. These were the bad guys. This is what we shouldn't redo. And this is who we shouldn't follow. They can't have that because then those are the people that are representing their trust and their beliefs.
Yesterday, Ilhan Omar did a Twitter Spaces. And I logged into it. I listened for quite a while. And she just went through a bunch of the stuff that was in or stuff that might be taken out of the infrastructure bill. That's what she does. Lauren Boebert tells made up jokes about how she insulted a woman in an elevator. And mocked her religion. It's not the same thing. Anyway, AOC tweeted about this death threat. She said, people truly don't understand the scale, intensity, and volume of threats targeting Ilhan Omar. Kevin McCarthy is so desperate to be speaker that he's working with his Ku Klux Klan caucus to look aside and allow violent targeting of women of color members of Congress. This cannot be ignored. It's not just about nasty phone calls and emails. GOP are given freedom to incite without consequence. They don't have to pay for the security required from their acts. We do. They make money off it. They are targeting those least likely to be institutionally protected first. I'm not on Lauren Boebert's like email list or whatever. I'm not on really any of theirs, even though I get emails from Nancy Pelosi constantly. Never signed up for that. I think that should be pretty clear. Guarantee that she is fundraising off of this, and Marjorie Greene is fundraising off of this, and all of them will. If she gets censured, she will fundraise even more. They have a direct financial incentive to incite violence.
When Marjorie Taylor Greene's fight with Representative Mace for the past day or two, one of the main points that even Mace bristled from, because she was barely criticizing Boebert for her words. She goes, she hasn't even been attacked by the Dems yet. And then so Mace responded, goes, no, I'm a real Republican because I got attacked by the Democrats last week. This is the basis for your legitimacy, is that you're being, have I been attacked by the Democrats yet? And by attacked by Democrats, that means responding to the horrible things that I've said and done. That's the thing. So unless I've been talked about by the Democrats lately for horrible things I've done, I've got to go out and do horrible things so they can talk about me and then I can fundraise off it. That's the process.
Yep. We had more videos we're gonna play of her on Laura Ingraham. And you'll note, like, they will literally never have Lauren Boebert on and say, hey, okay, so we're gonna have a conversation now about why what you said, making these generalized violent stereotypes about Muslims is a good thing. They will literally never do that. They have vague conversations about cancel culture. They're trying to cancel me. Okay, so what did you actually say? Is it a good thing? Do you think that we should have more elected representatives talking this way? Should this be how our government runs? They'll never have that conversation. They gotta keep it vague. Anyway, we're gonna take our first break. When we come back, another story that you're not gonna see on Fox News today. Donald Trump apparently was willing to or eager to kill a whole bunch of people using his own body. So that'll be fun. We'll talk about that after this. Anyway, with that, let's move on to this next story. You will not be shocked to find out that Donald Trump, in addition to all of the horrendous things that he has done and said, also apparently knowingly in multiple instances exposed people to the COVID that he knew that he had. He apparently tested positive for COVID 3 days before his first debate against Joe Biden. That is according to his last chief of staff. So that's a new book that's coming out. Once again, you only get to find out about this stuff through a book. The fact that he knowingly stood near Joe Biden, who's a billion years old, and exposed him to COVID, his chief of staff is now revealing. Thank you, Meadows. I really appreciate that. Like a year later. Anyway, he says, Mark Meadows also writes that though he knew each candidate was required to test negative for the virus within 72 hours of the start time of the debate, nothing was gonna stop Trump from going out there. You know, like a sort of natural social prohibition against murder. No, not even that would stop him. Trump, Meadows says, returned a negative test from a different test shortly after the positive. So he tested positive and he tested negative. And I will ask you, by the way, we're gonna give you a little bit of a spoiler. Within about a week, he was in the hospital with COVID. So I think I know which one was accurate. If you had gotten a positive test and a negative test, how would you act? As if you were positive or as if you were negative? I think I know what every moral, decent human being in the audience would do. Unfortunately, Trump is neither of those things. So he did eventually announce that he had COVID on the 2nd of October. The White House said he announced that result within an hour of receiving it. And he went to the hospital later that day. They like carried his nearly dead corpse to the hospital there. So I announced it within an hour. You know, within an hour of 3 days later after I had found out about, or even more. On the 26th, he tested positive. So they lied for a week. And that is bad enough to some extent. The fact that he did the thing with the debate, and we'll get to more of that. But there's actually even worse that we'll get to. I do want to let you know, Meadows was apparently surprised because he said, Trump is a massive germaphobe. How could he have gotten COVID? I mean, precautions including buckets of hand sanitizer and hardly seeing anyone who hadn't been rigorously tested. Well, I don't know, he'd spent 6 months mocking people for wearing masks and telling them they wouldn't need to take a vaccine and all that. I feel like there were a few precautions that he kind of avoided taking. In any event, we'll get to more of how awful this is, but JR, what do you think?
So this shows you even more. So that last quote that you had from Mark Meadows, where he said it's a surprise that he even got it because of how big of a germaphobe Trump is and his buckets of hand sanitizer. So what does hand sanitizer do when someone's breathing at you? Not much. So it first off, it illustrates just how much maybe neither one of them understood how this works, or just didn't care, or thought that they were somehow, like, you know, they had this protection of Republicanism on them. I'm not sure what the thought process is. So when people get surprised that they got it, I'm left just as baffled as they are for their questioning it. But also number two, if he knows that he needs to keep people from him and he was trying to, or he was hand sanitizing like crazy, that means he knows once he's got it and he's spreading it around that it's very possible that he's spreading it. he just doesn't care. And neither does Mark Meadows, and neither does anyone else that knew that this was happening. So if you already know that you're a massive germaphobe and you avoid people and you try to keep people from touching you, and you start touching others, you know how it affects others, or else you wouldn't be a germaphobe in the first place. It's full knowledge of what was happening and what they could be doing to people.
Yeah, and with that full knowledge, then lying over and over and over. So let's get into some of the lies. But first of all, just I gotta read this paragraph from Mark Meadows. He said his face, for the most part at least, had regained its usual light bronze hue, and the gravel in his voice was gone, but the dark circles under his eyes had deepened. That was the day of the debate. As we walked in the venue around 5 o'clock in the evening, I could tell that he was moving more slowly than usual. He walked like he was carrying a little extra weight on his back. Mm-hmm. Yes, his usual light bronze hue that he just naturally has.
Yeah.
Is he Greek? What? They slathered makeup on his pallid worm-like body. That's what they did. But anyway, that's the least bad part of this. So the host of the debate, Chris Wallace, later said Trump was not tested before the debate because he arrived late. Organizers relied on the honor system, and never in the history of honor systems has it been a worst idea. You're gonna have Trump be governed by the honor system? Yeah, they couldn't test him because he was late, not because he knew 3 days earlier that he tested positive for COVID. So what did he do? He went there, didn't take a test because he was late. That was his design. I will be there so late that they can't test me because I know that I have COVID in my body. I'm gonna stand 15, 20 feet from Joe Biden for hours and potentially expose him to it. He could have killed Joe Biden, but I don't know. I mean, he was willing to see his vice president executed. So can we really be shocked about that? But maybe I'm wrong, JR. Feel free to disagree with me. I don't think that that's the worst part of this story. We're gonna now get to the worst part of the story. But first, I wanna play a video for you. And this is a video from just a few weeks after that debate. Here is something Donald Trump said in an interview with Fox.
And I have to. I'm the president of the country. I can't hang around in a basement. So I figured there would be a chance that I would catch it. Sometimes I'd be with in groups of, for instance, Gold Star families. I met with Gold Star families. I didn't want to cancel that. But they all came in and they all talked about their son and daughter and father. And I can't back up, Maria, and say, give me room. I want room. Give me 12 feet. Stay 12 feet away when you talk. They come within an inch of my face sometimes. They want to hug me and they want to kiss me. And they do. And frankly, I'm not telling them to back up. I'm not doing it. But I did say it's like, you know, it's obviously dangerous. It's a dangerous thing, I guess, if you go by the COVID thing.
Okay, so for JR's sake, in that video, he was talking about, you know, I always knew I'd probably get COVID because I have to meet a lot of people. And like, I met with these Gold Star families and they're telling me all these sad stories and they're getting close to me and they're trying to kiss me. And what am I supposed to do? Tell them to back off? So it's very dangerous because these people get in your face. And you know, and then I got COVID. So what are you supposed to do? If it's not clear, he had an event with the Gold Star families. These are families who he meets with because they had soldier relatives that died. He is trying to make you think that they infected him with COVID. He already knew that he had COVID, and he met with the grieving families of dead soldiers and got this close to them by his own admission. So potentially, like, they may have gotten COVID. They may have gotten sick. We don't know. And he knew that he had it when he met with them. And then he goes on Fox and lies and said, I don't know, maybe they gave it to me.
Yep.
I know that we don't need this story to think that he is one of the most grotesque humans in history, certainly in the history of our government. This is singularly, though, one of the most sociopathic stories I have ever covered. And you know what this job is like. You know what the US government is like. This stands out. And I went to foxnews.com this morning.
No.
Nowhere.
No.
Please. They're not even gonna mention it. So I will ask you this. If Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders or AOC had done this, do you think they would have made time to mention it? Do you think they might have covered it, JR?
Come on, John. No. Yes, of course. So this is the way these things work. So as you point out, the layers to how horrible of a human being he is, just there's no bottom. Every time someone goes, oh, well, you know, he got COVID, or maybe he'll figure it out. The people who said maybe he'll realize something now that he's got it, I couldn't think of a more laughable conclusion to this series of events. If nothing else, the worse things that happen to him, the more he does horrible things. He thinks the way to get out of a bad situation is to be worse than the situation. And, you know, I mean, I guess it's worked for him. He's still around. He survived this. He survived 27 bankruptcies. He survived people that hate him. He survived businesses that absolutely sucked. He survived everything that he's done wrong in his life and people that he's alienated and probably accidentally killed spreading COVID. He's done those things, but it means nothing to him. It's never penetrated his brain to go, maybe it's me. There's never been one moment of self-reflection in this guy's life. It's always someone else's fault. So much so to the point, I really do think he believes, yeah, those Gold Star families did it to me. He knows that's not it, but he convinced himself this level of liar, a liar of this level, never finds themselves culpable or responsible for the things they've done. It's always someone else.
Yeah, 100%. And they won't care. Like if you found out that someone you knew in your life had done this, would you ever talk to them again? How is it that this one person can do these, like so many of these things, that if they were the only thing you knew about a person, you'd be done with them? Like if you, like this is the most sociopathic thing, I think individually, that I can imagine one person doing. We also know, you know, drawing on the hurricane map is the craziest thing, the most cringeworthy and embarrassing thing. How does he do all of these? I don't understand how he makes time for all of it. I want to add a little bit more terrible though.
Yeah, go.
I'm sorry,
yeah.
What did I say?
No, do it.
Okay, add here's terrible. A little bit more terrible. Okay, so remember your timeline. On the 26th, he finds out that he has tested positive for COVID. Oh, I just realized there's another awful thing I can throw onto this. So out, this is according to New York Times reporter Michael Shear. We don't have a graphic for it. Hours after he received the call from Meadows informing him of a positive test, Trump came to the back of Air Force One without a mask and talked with reporters for about 10 minutes. I was wearing a mask, but still got COVID, testing positive several days later. He went on an airplane to a group of journalists without a mask. He had just found out he tested positive for COVID, and he knowingly and willingly exposed them to COVID. But that wasn't even the awful thing that I was gonna mention. 3 days later, he has the debate. And you might recall, remember, this is a guy who knows he has COVID, who just rigged the system so he wouldn't be tested on the debate stage. And here is what he said on that debate stage.
Tonight, as an example, everybody's had a test and you've had social distancing and all of the things that you have to, but just I wear like masks when needed. When needed, I wear masks.
Okay, let me ask.
I don't wear masks like him. Every time you see him, he's got a mask. He could be speaking 200 feet away from it. He shows up with the biggest mask I've ever seen.
So we played that video, you know, when we found out that he had COVID, and we thought it was sort of ironic that he's mocking another elderly man for being scared of getting COVID, and then he got COVID. But now he had it and knew he had it when he's mocking Biden for wanting to wear a mask. He's in the process of exposing a person to a potentially deadly virus while mocking the other person for precautions against spreading a potentially deadly virus. Has there ever been a sociopath on the level of Donald Trump?
Yeah, you know what? You can't keep track of the levels of insanity and horrific actions from him. So yeah, so are people still gonna follow him? Are you still gonna go, this is a good guy? Are you still gonna say he had any kind of any inkling of a thought to look after other people? If you think that he would do this to people that are around him, from reporters to staff members to, I mean, the people that actually helped him be who he was as a president, doesn't care, breathe on them, it doesn't matter. So what do you think he cares about you in Florida? What do you think he cares about old James in Idaho? He doesn't care. Why would you think he would have any kind of response to this that actually protects the country when he won't even protect the people that are closest to him? He doesn't care. He does not care. And that was very illustrative in the way that he handled the entire COVID pandemic. As we've already seen, and as he's denied, oh yeah, I know, I wasn't covering it up. He wasn't covering it up. Your track record shows you cover it up. Your track record shows you lie about it. Your track record shows that you will openly and knowingly breathe on people knowing what you've got. We know your track record.
The official GOP Twitter account 1 hour ago tweeted, "Life is precious. Republicans will always stand for the sanctity of life." You follow a guy who went in a room with a bunch of people, families of veterans, and he tried to give them COVID. Get the F out of here with your "we're pro-life" nonsense. They tweeted that seemingly directly in response to these stories coming out.
They're also pro-military too, John.
Oh, totally pro-military. Oh no, super national defense. They just want to get people who've lost their kids in foreign wars sick and potentially die from COVID. Anyway, he says, by the way, it's fake news. Okay.
It's all takes.
You also said that you arrived late for the debate. So you say it was fake news. Your chief of staff says you did it. Three different unique sources have confirmed that all of this is true, but you say it's fake news. You don't have a track record on whether you're honest or not for us to check, do you? Anyway, we're gonna go to an early break. This is gonna be a full actual break. Hopefully when we come back from this, we'll have fixed our issues with the videos. So we will see you in just a few. Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for being here. I think we've gotten all of our tech ducks in a row or whatever. JR, once again, thank you for being here for Big News Wednesday. We're about to launch into some more stories, but before we do that, I did want to read a few of your comments since we didn't get our second social break. Spider Weenie sent in a super chat saying, "Love the show, John and JR. Much love from the United Kingdom." Thank you for that. Spider Weenie, the new Spider-Man movie is coming out in just a few weeks, so it's almost your time to shine. Mini Morpho just subscribed for the 14th month. Thank you for that. Much appreciated. Let's see. Here comes the Tony says, "Not surprising that Trump would launch a bio attack against his opponents." Yeah, totally. And also, like, Lauren Boebert's whole thing is joking about how Ilhan Omar might be a threat to the people around her, where, and meanwhile, she's bowing down constantly to this guy who's openly spewing deadly germs to everyone who happens to be near him. Drew and George gifted a tier one sub. Thank you very much for that. Very nice of you. Ratty Bastard's mom subscribed for the 4th month. That is a name. Says, "Yay, 4 month sub. Got my TDR on Twitch and YouTube. Happy to watch and share both streams." So that's very nice of you. Thank you so much for that. Okay. Donkey Teeth BTIS says, "I'm waiting for the inevitable story about Trump rummaging through the trash for garbage candy." I don't share that in common with him. I just want to be clear about that. Maria Hall DK hit 17 months on Twitch. Thank you. Silver Zen hit 16. Says, "Hey TYT, can you hold on to this for a bit? I'll be back for it next month." Well, you'll have a different one next month, actually. Hold on. Insomnia Noir says, "I can't imagine how traumatic this must be for Representative Omar. She experienced civil war in refugee camps before coming to the States. Someone needs to put a metaphorical boot up." Anyway, I'm not going to finish that, but I think you know where it's going. Yeah. Her whole life, like the early years of her life, were unimaginably difficult. Like, I can try to imagine, I will come far short of all of what she experienced just trying to live a safe and secure life. And then she gets here, fleeing violence, and gets mocked as a potential terrorist from a woman who supports insurrectionists. Nothing makes any sense. But anyway, why don't we move on to something that kind of makes sense? We're going no more breaks straight through till end of hour. Yeah, you know, I get that. Okay. And with that, let's jump into this. As we potentially launch into another wave with the Omicron variant starting to spread, we don't know how serious it'll be. Let's just admit that up front. We don't know how safe vaccines will make us in the face of it, but we did just experience Thanksgiving. Christmas is coming. People are traveling. And last year that led to a lot of extra COVID. So what might that look like? Well, we know that the now long established partisan gap in COVID cases and deaths is continuing to spread. As of April of this year, the most red and most blue counties in the country began to diverge on vaccination rates. And what do you think that will lead to? Well, the areas that are most strongly for Biden are fully vaccinated at a rate 40% higher than the rate for counties that voted most strongly for Trump. And let's take a look at what that looks like between February, the beginning of the pandemic of last year, and November of this year. Well, the red line is the super Trumpy area. And you can see that they're getting something like 50% more cases. They're getting something like 50% more deaths. And oh, what do you know? They have something like almost 50% less vaccination. It's weird, like, because I know intellectually that those things can't be connected, because I get my news from Tucker Carlson. And he has on experts like Alex Berenson, who I guess must be a doctor or something, saying that vaccinations don't actually work. And I find out from all these people that all you need to do is take ivermectin. So I guess the right wingers are taking less ivermectin because they're getting and dying from COVID at much higher rates. And we've done this story before, by the way. We check in every couple months. It continues. The divergence gets stronger and stronger because these people are not getting vaccinated. And let me show you the partisan split in vaccination. 1/4 of US adults say they haven't gotten a COVID-19 vaccine. But when you break it down in partisan lines, it's a huge gap. So let's see. 60% of those identifying as a Republican haven't. Okay. 1 in 6 Democrats has it. That's still too high for the Democrats. But this is just, yeah, this is the most logical story that we've ever covered. They're not taking you seriously, so they're getting COVID more and they're dying for it more. And that is amounting to hundreds of extra Republicans dying every single day by choice because they believe the wrong people.
Well, I just want to address real quick the 17%, I think it's the 1 in 6 for many Democrats. I think it may even cross political lines as far as this. There's a probably decent percentage of people who have issues with organizing it, planning, going. People have issues with appointments. I would assume it's one of the reasons people just don't generally go to the doctor. One of the reasons I don't. Maybe. So it's the thing, and I can go to the doctor tomorrow, but many times it's like, oh, but can I squeeze that in? Or maybe someone has a job that they really never get any time off. There's many things and reasons that people may not get it. Now, we see the overarching is just the stupidity or the believing of Tucker Carlson. So even for the people who have issues getting to something or organizational skills or all that stuff, look out for them too, right? Yeah. So if you can, if you have this the time and capabilities, that's one of the reasons to do it. Or people just with issues with getting vaccines or having pre-existing type of conditions. So just to get that out of the way, because everyone, I don't think, should be demonized if they can't, because there's a percentage that can't. So anyways.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's more reason for people who can to do it, you know? So as we see, when things are broken down on partisan lines like this, it's directly from a messaging to a receiving point of view. There's no way this many groups of people within an ideological mindset just happen to be the ones catching it because they happen to be not doing the things that there's not a groupthink going around. We know the Republican Party has groupthink. We know the Democratic Party to a degree has groupthink as well, but to a lesser degree. That's why you have so much more infighting. You have the progressive wing versus the central wing. You have all that happening more. And so you'll get those fringes, but it won't be based off of stupidity. It'll be based off of different ways that we can see and possibly approach this. So I just want to point out that there's those things when it comes to at least protecting others and just getting it. But that goes out the window too when it comes to Republican thing.
You're 100% right. And look, I will just quickly say, it sometimes bothers me. Like we try to do our best. You've been working for TYT way longer than I have. I've been working here for going on near 10 years. And we try to get people to be reasonable and rational, to care about their fellow man, to believe the government has an obligation to do better, to believe that there is a better world that we can try to achieve. And in policy terms, much of what we push for hasn't happened. And that really bothers me that people are still so irrational, more so than they were when I started this seemingly, that we haven't gotten a progressive president and all that. Those failures bother me so much. But if I knew that I was actively every day encouraging people to throw their lives away, I don't understand what it would take to make me okay with that. And yet I look, to be fair, I haven't been in their homes. I assume they're very nice. And I assume they have a very, very nice cars and all of that. So I don't know if that makes Tucker Carlson and Dave Rubin and the others feel better about what they're doing. I guess the leather must be very plush.
Yeah,
anyway, really fast.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, continue.
No, this because there's a small stat because you point out how much worse things are than they were before. Just from last year, last December. There's a story I saw this morning. So in the Omaha area, there's 57 people on ventilators as of yesterday. There was 56 on ventilators December 7th of 20. So about a year ago, one fewer people. And there's a new record now because 56 was the tops. Last December, there was no vaccine available.
Yeah.
This year, there's one more on a ventilator. Of course, their capacity like we've been seeing, but there's a vaccine available. So when we're talking trends, that's a really bad trend. When you got more people that are on ventilators this year, versus people that's when crazy. You didn't have access to doing something, we're on a bad trajectory.
insane. Super fast, I want to let you know about this. Four states, Iowa, Tennessee, Florida, and Kansas, have changed their rules on unemployment. You know, because like people are losing their jobs, they want to make sure that they get unemployment benefits. But wait, specifically to include people who have been terminated or who have chosen to leave their jobs because of vaccine mandates. Isn't that amazing? Wow. This is a political movement that all last year, like let's go to these headlines. July 2020, GOP relief plan slashes unemployment benefits by 43% for average workers. 10 Senate Republicans backed bill ending the $300 a week unemployment benefits by June. They spent like a year and a half telling you, you shouldn't get any aid. You're being lazy. Go back to, oh, vaccine mandates. Oh, well, here's some cash. Let's get some cash on you. Yeah, this isn't a partisan thing though. They finally found an unemployed worker that they give a damn about. And it's someone who chose not to continue to work because they didn't want to get a vaccine. Anyway, with that, we do have to jump into our last story of the hour because it is a doozy. So let's get ready for that. Dr. Oz is running for office for Senate in Pennsylvania. Now, this story, there's a lot of surprising bits in this. So first of all, that he's running in Pennsylvania when he doesn't live there. It's not a state that he lives in. But Dr. Oz, he's the celebrity physician who you probably years ago saw on TV and he was telling you to like, eat a bean for diabetes or something. I don't know. I didn't watch much of it, but yeah, he was popular for a long time because he was on Oprah. So why not run as a Republican for Senate eventually? I mean, they lost Sean Parnell, JR, the guy who allegedly choked his wife, ordered her out of a car so she'd go get an abortion, and just lost custody of his kids. So they needed like a serious safe bet, and I think they've found it. In Dr. Oz, we're gonna give you some of his past medical, because that's his whole thing, is that he's a doctor. We're gonna give you some of his medical advice, but what do you think about this candidacy?
I would love to go back and ask myself, so what do you think about in 2021 when Dr. Oz is running for office after Donald Trump just lost and after a worldwide pandemic just hit that Donald Trump didn't do anything about? And many hundreds of thousands of Americans died and millions across the world. I would go, oh man, I moved a long time ago when this started happening. But it's weird because we're right. We're just sitting in this and we're watching Dr. Oz run for office in a state he doesn't live in. And we're just like moving along to the next. And it's just normal. Because it is now. It's not abnormal. It is normal now.
It's just like, it's just have a celebrity. Just, oh yeah, no, Dr. Oz, I've heard that name. Look, what is it next? Dr. Doolittle? Dr. Doom? Who, just anybody who happened to be on TV and like, well, it is a public health crisis, so I suppose we should have a doctor. Even if that doctor, for instance, you know what? Let's jump right into this video. Here is what he had to say early on in the pandemic about COVID.
Oftentimes they think they have coronavirus because they're so anxious about it. So every small little symptom, you know, they don't quite smell as well this morning as they did yesterday. They think they have it. They have a little cough, a little belly ache. And again, I don't want to downplay these issues because they may actually have coronavirus because people have very mild symptoms often. But the panic attack is devastating and it is a physical problem. It's not just in your head, your whole body, the rapid palpitations, the sweating, the feeling that the world is closing in around you. And these symptoms can cause all kinds of detrimental effects, which is why I think a lot of doctors now are feeling that the worry and the panic about coronavirus is going to be worse than the actual coronavirus for them.
Yeah, I don't think so, though. I think probably not. Now, look, that was only a couple weeks into the lockdown. That was in late March of last year. But his whole thing is that he's a doctor and he's supposed to get this better than us. And he was going on Fox to say, well, you're panicking about this. And that at the end of the day is the true pandemic. Is you panicking? Well, no, it wasn't. So he's awful on this main issue. I've now added, thanks to the chat, Dr. Dre and Dr. Evil are doctors I would support before him. JR, like, is there any chance? Just he's got a big name. He's a wealthy guy. He's a known grifter. He's been mocked for a long time, rightfully so, for his grift and everything. But what do you think his odds are?
Pretty good. Hey, there's no more bad odds for insane people. Look who we talk about nearly all the time. Marjorie Taylor Greene and Boebert and Gates and Jim Jordan. All those guys are in office. They're in office. So, I mean, honestly, if I was advising Dr. Oz, I'd be like, you look much better than the rest of them. You should be able to get in on this. And by the way, if we're talking about panic attacks, my last quick thought. So we're concerned about panic attacks over people worrying about COVID. Are we concerned about people's panic attacks over their rent in their mortgage that they're losing their house over, or their jobs that they lost, or their kids getting sick, or lack of health care? Are we worried about people's panic attacks when they worry about those things that we're stripping them of? No, we don't care about that then, because it's not politically expedient for them.
Yeah,
panic attacks.
That is a great point. By the way, in April 2020, he said that opening schools may only cost us 2 to 3% in terms of total mortality. What are you talking about? Only 2 to 3% of the population? Jesus. Okay, Dr. Seuss, we're adding him. Let's see, we got any other doctors? You know what? Let's go with the Wizard of Oz. I would actually support him over this. Do not let this guy get into office. Do we have some kind of expectations? Anyway, we got to take a short break, but we got more. We'll see you on the other side of this. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.